You may remain seated for the teaching lesson, which comes from the 23rd chapter of Acts. That night the Lord stood near to Paul and said, "Keep up your courage, for just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also in Rome." In the morning the Jews joined in a conspiracy and bound themselves by an oath neither to eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who joined in this conspiracy. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have strictly bound ourselves by an oath to taste no food until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the council must notify the tribune to bring him down to you on the pretext that you want to make a more thorough examination of his case. And we are ready to do away with him before he arrives." Now the son of Paul's sister heard about the ambush. So he went and gained entrance to the barracks and told Paul. Paul called one of the centurions and said, "Take this young man to the tribune, for he has something to report to him." So he took him, brought him to the tribune and said, "The prisoner Paul called me and asked me to bring this young man to you. He has something to tell you." The tribune took him by the hand, drew him aside privately and asked, "What is it that you have to report to me?" He answered, "The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they were going to inquire more thoroughly into his case. But do not be persuaded by them, for more than 40 of their men are lying in ambush for him. They have bound themselves by an oath neither to eat nor drink until they kill him. They are ready now and are waiting for your consent." So the tribune dismissed the young man, ordering him, "Tell no one that you have informed me of this." Then he summoned two of the centurions and said, "Get ready to leave by 9 o'clock tonight for Caesarea with 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearsmen. Also provide mounts for Paul to ride, and take him safely to Felix, the governor. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning I want to take a look at our text from the book of Acts. But to do so, it's important to know what's been going on. You see, just before this passage, Paul's been meeting with the leadership of the Jews. So basically, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Now, you might remember the Sadducees were of the priestly order. And you might also remember that they denied there was life after death. While the Pharisees, on the other hand, were more like what we would call lay leaders and teachers, who did believe in the afterlife. So needless to say, they got pretty riled up arguing with each other over their different views. And while the Pharisees acknowledged the existence of resurrected life just like Paul did, they could not and would not go so far as to say that Jesus had been resurrected because he was the Son of God. And so once the Romans placed Paul in protective custody, some of the Pharisees and Sadducees joined forces to plan how best to do away for good with Paul and his so-called heretical teachings, which is where our story picks up today. When we read that then the Jews joined in a conspiracy and bound themselves by an oath neither to eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. And the way they planned to kill Paul was to ask the local tribune for the opportunity to talk with Paul once again and then ambush him on the way to the interview. But lucky for Paul, his nephew got wind of the plot and went to the prison to warn him. And after he warned Paul, he made his way to the local tribune with the news so that the attack could be thwarted. And the local tribune listened to Paul's nephew. And the local tribune made sure that Paul was safely escorted to Governor Felix, as he saw no reason for Paul to be imprisoned or put to death according to either Roman or Jewish law. Now you or I in a similar position might have been shaking in our boots. But Paul kept his cool. And so he was able to keep his cool because not only had God always watched over his comings and goings for years, but the Lord himself had approached him in the prison saying, "Keep up your courage, for just as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also in Rome." And if the Lord brings you a word of encouragement like he brought a word of encouragement to Paul, or if the Lord sends you help like Paul's nephew brought him a word of warning, I hope I'd listen too. But unlike Paul, Christ has never come and spoken to me directly. But even so, I still believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ has sent other people into my life at just the right time to lift me up, lead me on the right path, and encourage me to always see how my potential can benefit and be a blessing to others. And I bet you've had similar experiences too. Similar experiences like a retired teacher once shared with dear Abby. When after her math class had worked hard on a new concept all week and the students were obviously stressed, she decided they needed a little break. And so the teacher asked the students to take out a sheet of paper and write down the names of the other students in the class, leaving a space between each name. Then she told them to write down the nicest thing they could say about each of their classmates. When they were done, she collected the papers and that weekend wrote the name of each student on a separate piece of paper, followed by what the students had said about that person. Then on Monday morning, she returned the sheets to her class. And much to her delight, Before long, everyone was smiling, and she even overheard one student whisper, "I never knew that meant anything to anyone. I didn't know anyone liked me that much." Well, years later, the teacher had to attend the funeral of one of those students, a promising young man who had been killed in war. Now, the church was packed with many of the man's friends who had been in that junior high math class. And afterwards, at the parents' home, the parents said to the teacher, "We want to show you something that our son was carrying in his wallet when he was killed." Then the father pulled out that list of all the good things that the boy's classmates had said about him and told the teacher, "Thank you so much for doing that." To which the mother added, "As you can see, he treasured it." Now a group of the former classmates heard this exchange, and one smiled sheepishly and said to the teacher, "I still have my list too. It's in my top desk drawer at home." Another said, "I have mine also. It's in my diary." "I put mine in my wedding album," said a third. And said a fourth, "I carry mine with me at all times. And I bet we all save them." Now I think this story is relevant for lots of reasons. And not only because it illustrates how much we all need encouragement, but also because it demonstrates how our Lord and Savior often uses others to speak to us. Because as George Herbert, an English pastor and poet, once said, "Good words are worth much and cost little." So to give a word of encouragement to someone who is feeling down is to be like our Lord Jesus. And I think all of us here this morning want to act and be like our Lord Jesus as much as we are capable. We all want to do the right thing. And we all want to be known as someone who brings the hope and love and peace of Christ into every one of our relationships. And sometimes, to bring the hope and love and peace of Christ means that we have to be the bearer of bad news. Sometimes it means we have to gamble getting out of our protective comfort zones. And sometimes it means to put it all on the line and be willing to sacrifice our own safety for the sake of someone else. And that's exactly what Paul's nephew had to do. He had to risk everything to bring his Uncle Paul the news he was in danger, even though bringing such news probably put him in as much danger too. But this young boy was willing to take the chance. And he was willing to take the chance because of the love he had for his uncle. Now in this passage, nowhere does it say if Paul's nephew was a follower of Christ or not. And I really don't think that matters much anyway, as the only thing that really matters is that knowingly or unknowingly, this young boy became an instrument for Christ. He became an answer to a prayer Paul maybe didn't even know he needed answered. And ultimately, he became yet another example for Paul and for us about why he was right to always place his hope and trust in Christ Jesus. Because Paul, I think, knew he was never alone. Understood the Lord was with him, and so he was able to be at peace, holding tightly onto Christ's promises. And the same should be true also for us. So hear these words of encouragement this morning. Hear that Jesus promises he'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. He'll never desert or forsake you, and he'll send the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you. Hear that you are assured salvation from sin and the gift of eternal life awaits you. And hear the precious promise that we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose, and to those who go to God with prayer and supplication. Because when you hear and believe all of this, you can start fully experiencing the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. You can hear and believe God will continually guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And you can hear and believe God can always be relied on to find a way to share a word of promise and a word of encouragement just when you need to hear it the most. Amen.